Hello and welcome to A Life in the Landscape, Episode 7, the now becoming much more regular podcast featuring myself, Peter Cox, and with me as always is my good friend, Roger Overall.
Peter, hello. Do you know, when you said that, the becoming more regular podcast, I immediately had to think of the Hitchhiker's Guide Galaxy series of books, which of course is a trilogy. But everybody knows there are six parts in this trilogy. And I'm sure on one of the books it says, was it part four or part five in the increasingly badly named trilogy of books of The Hitchhiker's Guide? And that's what this podcast reminds me of when you said that. Oh, here we are. We were irregular and now we're not irregular.
Well, we're still certainly irregular. And it was certainly actually when you started talking about the regularity, I started thinking of bowel movements, but we won't go down that route.
What are you trying to say? This podcast is shit.
On advice of counsel, I decline to say any more.
On advice of counsel. Oh, my goodness. Let's move on. What have you been up to? What have you been doing? Well, I know you've already told me what you've been up to, but I think we should tell the people who are listening to the podcast.
We should. What I've been doing just before this, and I was very distracted, was I was looking at some photographs that I had not looked at in quite some time, and we were talking about possibly doing some sort of a comparison. So I found myself lost in the process of processing an image that I hadn't looked at in 8 years. So that's what I was doing immediately before we started talking.
Do you find, is it a bit like when you go into an attic or when you start delving into your shelves, your bookshelves or whatever it is, your video collection, and you get lost before you know it, an hour has passed because you're holding up books or videos or CDs, records, whatever it is, and all these memories come flooding back. I mean, do you get that when you go through these photographs? Does it become a rabbit hole? I've lost time.
It certainly can do, yeah. And I don't do it very often, but it's something that I do enjoy doing from time to time. And it's funny because these shoots, you know, I don't go on a huge number of shoots. I'm not out photographing every day. And when I do go out, you know, I spend time kind of in a location and I sort of work with it. And I'm sure this is the same with most landscape photographers. You have fairly distinct and vivid memories of most shoots that you go on, certainly personal ones. And this particular shoot that I'm looking at is a visit to the Aran Islands that I made in 2010, where my sister, as regular listeners will know, is a geologist, and she works on these boulder ridges that form on the western or the Atlantic-facing coasts of the Aran Islands. And some of the most spectacular formations are on Inish Man, which is also her favorite and also has become my favorite of the three Aran Islands, because Inish Ear and Inish Moor both get massive amounts of visitors. Inish Man, as the middle child, doesn't get nearly as many. And as a result, it's stayed very much as a largely unaffected by tourism. It gets some, but not enough to kind of ruin it. And it's also spectacular. It's the cliffs are not as spectacular as the ones on Inish Moor, but they are spectacular nonetheless. And you can go out walking, indeed, as you can on Inish Moor as well. Most people that visit the islands don't spend nearly enough time on them, but you can go walking along these cliffs in the middle of the tourist season and see nobody, which is wonderful.
Okay, the 2.5 million listeners of this podcast are now all going to descend on Inish Man. You've ruined it.
If you mean the bacteria that are on you and I, then yes, I suppose so. But yes, indeed. Someday in the future, we will have 2.5 million actual people listening, but that is not currently the case.
It does make me think of one of your photographs, and I forget. Bohita Strand. It's a hidden beach.
Bohita Strand. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was listed in one of Ireland's national newspapers as one of the top 10 hidden beaches of Ireland. And you have to think, well, by virtue of the fact that you've listed it in a national newspaper, it is now not one of the top 10 hidden beaches in Ireland because everybody now knows where it is.
But you actually have to walk to get to it. You see, that's the thing about Bohita, is there's no road that goes to the beach. You've got to walk for half an hour to get there. So certainly, yes, it'll get more visitors than normal. And eventually, I'm sure some some person will build a road to it and ruin it thereby. But it is, yes. But it's the same with the Aran Islands. You know, you have to take full advantage of the cliffs. You need to leave the paths and you need to, you know, kind of go out a little bit into the wilderness, which is, I think, why you see so few people there. Most people go there for a few hours to visit Dunangus or something like that, and then they're gone again.
Is it to get to the islands? Is it a boat trip or do you fly?
You can do either. So yeah, there's regular flight service, fantastic flight service from Ross Avila in Galway, which is only about a half an hour's drive from Galway City, and you can get a boat from either there or from Doolin in Clare, and it's I mean the access is amazingly easy. You know, you can, and the plane ticket is I think it's I can't remember, it's about 20 quid. It's not much. Maybe it's a bit more than that, but it's certainly very cheap. And so, and it only takes 10 or 15 minutes to get over. So I highly recommend them. You do need to take care when walking out on the cliffs, obviously, but it's a fantastic, fantastic experience. But anyway, this particular trip is memorable in many ways. It was one of my first visits out there before I started really working with my sister on this project and sort of got me interested in it. And it was also a period where there was quite bad weather. So myself and my wife actually went over on the boat. So I get a little bit seasick, but not massively. And Anne prides herself on never getting seasick. But at the time she was about 6 months pregnant with our son. And it was quite a rough crossing from Ross Avila. And we did go across on the boat, and there was nobody out on deck. Everybody was in the interior cabin. And you know, the boat's rocking and it's claustrophobic and it's hot and it's all the worst possible things for people that get seasick. And I'm feeling myself getting a bit queasy. And then the crew start handing out these shopping bags, plastic shopping bags, in anticipation of people's need. And so I take them. And the thing with these bags is they often have holes in them, at the bottom. They're never, not entirely, completely waterproof. Or capable of holding water. And so, you know, I get one, and I think Anne gets one as well. Yes, she did. And I've got mine ready, but I don't need it yet. And then Anne all of a sudden starts to quietly heave, and there everybody in the cabin is quietly and politely heaving into these bags, and it's all very civilized. And thankfully, there seems to be a minimum of leakage from them, and I'm holding it together, and I'm very pleased with myself. And Anne is, as well as feeling sick, she's also feeling sick in a different way, because she's usually the one that is kind of having to mind me while I'm feeling a bit bad. But obviously the hormones and the pregnancy, you know, made her react differently than she normally would have. So anyway, she fills her bag and then says, hands it to me and says, can you give me another one, please? So I'm left holding this thing and just holding it together myself. I give her mine, finally managed to get one of the crew, you know, to give me, to trade a full for an empty. Anyway, that's fine. I didn't end up needing to go to use the bag at all. I was rather proud of that. But that was the crossing over. As a result of that, the sea state was very interesting. So out along the cliffs, you know, we had these big 5 meter waves, and I have this photograph that I made on one of the nights that I was there at sunset of these waves beating up against these 30 meter high cliffs, and, you know, sort of spray going up above the levels of the cliffs. So it was, it's one of my favorite pictures, and it's quite a popular image in the gallery, and it really evokes, you know, sort of the power of the waves on the west of Ireland. Anyway, I was looking for various reasons at the source images from that trip, which I haven't really looked at in the nearly 8 years since I was there. And I took lots of photographs of, you know, I went to a couple of different sort of perches, and I took photographs at sets of photographs at each of them. And the one that I used is the favorite one that I have. But I also have 20 or 30 other photographs from that same exact spot, or from very similar spots. And I had ideas in my head as to what I wanted to do, because, you know, the waves are going, and they're really, you know, I wanted to show how close they were coming to me. Now, I was standing in a place that was quite secure with the wave direction that it was. I wasn't in danger of being washed off, but I was really looking to show the proximity of the waves, the height of the waves, and the sunset, which was going on. And it ended up being a bit of a watery sunset, but I ended up very happy with the image that I got. But looking through them, there are several others that I could have chosen that are very similar, and I never would release multiple images that are that close in similarity. But for the purposes of the podcast and the newsletter, there's one image that I'm looking at here that shows what I originally thought that I wanted, but that ended up being not nearly as good as the one that I ended up using. So, and it shows a spray of water coming up very close to me and the sun setting behind, the sun setting much more dramatically than it is in the picture that I ended up using. But yeah, it should be quite an interesting exercise.
This sounds phenomenal. If you are listening to the podcast, you might not get the newsletter. First of all, you should sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely.
go to petercox.ie, sign up. And if you, because we should really give people a place to go so they can see at least the image that is available. So how best to do that, I wonder. Easiest thing is they go to your website, and what is the image that they're looking for if they key that in? Because I'm sure people will be clamoring to see this particular photograph, especially after the nauseating build-up that you gave it.
Well, all they've got to do is search for Paolan Shaedon, Inishman.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say.
Yeah, it is unfortunately one of those ones. It's if you search for Powell, P-O-L-L, in the website, you'll find the image. Powell means hole. So Paolan Shaedon is hole of the blowing spray.
We're not talking about what happened on the boat. Okay.
That's the blowing chunks.
You do realize so far in this podcast, we've had bowel movements and we've had seasickness. There's nowhere else. We better stop now. This is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening.
Before we do any further damage to your sensibilities. Yes, the place gets its name because there's the cliffs and then there's an undercut sort of cavity. It's like a really long, narrow cave right at water level. When the waves come in, they boom in through there and then it forces all this spray out. So that's where it gets its name. But yeah, searching for P-O-L-L or Powell in Irish on the website, we'll find the image. And then I think we can go to the podcast.petercox.ie page. I think we can put an image up there, can't we?
We can indeed. In fact, we will make it the lead image for this particular podcast. You can go in and you'll see the photograph there.
Yeah,
definitely can.
Podcast.petercox.ie is where you'll find that, which is maybe where you found this podcast.
Yes. And because Peter's far too modest to say this, I will say it. You can buy a copy, a print. You can buy a print of this photograph. I think you should.
Absolutely.
There you are. Somebody's got to pay for all this nonsense, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, you've also been out with your drone in far more stable conditions. You've also been on land very recently working on some new stuff. Can you talk about what you've been up to?
Yeah, so I'm doing some work with RTE at the moment for an upcoming program, and they asked me to go and get some footage of the bog, a particular location, a bog in County Offaly.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there. Now we've moved on to bogs. Listener, I swear to you, this is not planned. This is utterly unintentional. Let's clarify a couple of things first. RTE is the national broadcaster here in Ireland, just in case you're unfamiliar and you're listening to this podcast from outside of Ireland. RTE is one of our...
it's the
national.
It's the Irish BBC, let's put it that way.
It's the Irish BBC. Yeah. And bogs, can you describe what a bog is?
It's a place where you go to the toilet. No, sorry, yes, in Ireland, again, those of you that are listening outside, if you want to go to the toilet, you might say, I have to go to the bog. That's a colloquialism. But a bog is moorland or, a peat bog. Most Americans certainly would have heard of peat bogs in Ireland. It's where you go and cut turf, which is another... another euphemism for doing something in the toilet, but we won't get into that. It's a marsh, but it has very dense, compacted, dead plant matter that, when dried, can be burned for fuel. And in fact, that's where historically most Irish houses would have gotten their fuel for heating them in the winter months. And the bogs of Ireland have been used sort of for that purpose for thousands of years. In fact, it's interesting because they are a natural heritage of Ireland, but they're pretty much man-made. Ireland after the last ice age was a temperate rainforest, really, and it had from coast to coast massive forestry with nearly no clear land in there. And when the first people came after the ice age, they started clearing it for farmland and for various other uses. And over a long period of time, over thousands of years, that clearing of the forest ended up affecting the land, and the bogs started to form as a result, and in fact overtook some of the farmland in the process. And then we started using it for fuel, and now we're moving away from that and moving into, using, for example, wind power. So there is less and less mining, if you like, of the bogs. And indeed, the exploitation of the bogs could have been from just local farmers going up there using hand tools to cut turf and dry it then and use it for fuel. And then more recently, having massive machines that go out over the bog and essentially churn it up and strip mine it and then compact it into these things called peat briquettes, which are basically compressed peat that can then be burned in a fire. So one of the other things that is being done is that the bogs are being turned into a tourist attraction. So and as a natural heritage site, because again, there's wonderful wildlife, there's lots of birds that live in them and all sorts of things like that, and wonderful flora. So there is a place called Lochbora in County Offaly that it has a visitor centre and has some rehabilitated bog that has been turned back from this kind of, strip mined area back into its natural thing with some lakes and marshlands and as a habitat for birds and other animals. And there are some lovely walks around there, and they wanted to get some footage of this. And also of what's the other area, the alternative use of the bogs for energy instead of burning the stuff and instead using them as locations for wind farms. So in fact, there's a wind farm that is has some of the largest turbines in Ireland there, and I was able to get some nice footage. But I was essentially asked to do this. I'm heading away to travel on Monday for a few weeks, and they wanted the footage before I left. So I had just about a week to get this stuff. And this being Ireland and this being March, the weather is not fantastic, or wasn't going to be fantastic. So I ended up looking at the forecast, and it said pretty definitively that the second half of this week, which is the week before St. Patrick's Day, was going to be pretty poor. And in fact, we had some absolutely epic rainfall over the last few days. But that Monday evening and Tuesday morning seemed to be kind of marginal, that there might be some decent opportunity. So it was the only chance I was going to get. So I made arrangements and I packed the drone up in the car, and I went up to Offaly on Monday afternoon, arrived there about an hour and a half before sunset. The whole way I was driving up, it was completely pouring with rain. And I ended up getting there about an hour and a half before the sun went down. And there were a few desultory showers still going on. It was still kind of spitting, but I could tell it was starting to break up. And then sure enough, I was able to get it dried up, but the light still wasn't great. And I was able to get a whole bunch of shots and figure out what I wanted to do. I'd gotten a number of shots that I was happy with. And then all of a sudden the sun broke through just about 10 minutes before it was actually going to go below the horizon. So I had about 10 minutes or 15 minutes of really, really lovely golden light. And so I was able to then go back through all the shots that I'd gotten previously and just rerun them with the better light. And then the following morning I went to this wind farm, and again with the permission of Borden Amona, which is the Irish state company that runs the bogs and runs this farm, and was able to get some really impressive footage of this wind farm with the sunrise coming up behind it. So it ended up being, I mean, I couldn't have asked for better. When I went up, I expected to get something that would just about do, but I ended up getting something that I was really, really happy with.
And how did the fact that you're filming at a time of year when the sun is relatively low anyway, did that play any role? I appreciate that the first evening you went up, you pretty much photographing during sunset, so the sun is going to be low anyway. But was there a period where the sun would have been relatively, I don't know, I'm just trying to think, would that have made any difference? Had you had to do this in the summer, would this have caused you a headache, or was it just the time of day wouldn't have made any difference to you?
I prefer to shoot during the winter. I suppose it's not winter anymore, it's spring, but it's still, the sun is relatively low even at the in the middle of the day, which is good. Certainly in the middle of the day in the summertime, you're going to get relatively poor results, you know, that it's very, very harsh light. But that is the nice thing about Ireland, is outside of the summer months, you get really nice light even in the middle of the day. So in fact, the weather did stay fine for most of Tuesday, and I was able to get, you know, I got my stuff in the morning, and then I was able to get more things then in the late morning and early afternoon that were certainly usable. So you have the sort of sunrise and sunset shots for the kind of wow moments in the video, and then you have the other stuff, which is nice, but not as good for the rest of it.
Is there, just out of interest for the people who are listening to the podcast, who can get RTE, is there any rough broadcast date or broadcast month that you know?
I'm not sure. It's when the program is, I think something like May or June, I'm not entirely sure. But, you know, once the program is out of edit and so on, then we'll make mention of it. Certainly, there'll be at least one more podcast before any of this comes to light.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this episode of the podcast. Peter, where can people connect with you, follow you, stalk you, whatever?
In the bogs, where else? they can, of course, get me at petercox.ie, and they can visit the gallery in Killarney on Plunkett Street. And yes.
Are you on social media?
Social media. I believe I've heard of it. Yes. That we're on Facebook. And
come on, Grandad. So, yes, are.
Facebook.com/PeterCoxPhoto, or search Peter Cox Photography on Facebook. You will find us.
Fantastic. And to you listening to this podcast, thank you very much for taking the time. We do appreciate it. Well, Peter appreciates it. I don't really care.
Yes, you do.
I know, it's true, I do. I was going to say we'll see you next time, but that's just about the worst thing you can say on a podcast.
Absolutely. We'll hear you next time, or something. But yes, thank you very much for listening.